That song is so important because in our study today, we will meet a little bit of a couple of characters, people, I should say, who were not persuaded to believe the message of the gospel. And although it was clearly given to them, they somehow just couldn't bring themselves to take that final important step of accepting God's way of salvation. We'll talk about that a little bit as we get into this little chapter today. Acts chapter 24, and there's just three short paragraphs that we'll read quickly and just make a few comments on each one. Three little paragraphs about this story. I've entitled them Accusations Against Paul, and then second paragraph is Paul's defense before Felix, and something I've just been referring to. I've said the procrastination, big word there, of Felix in accepting the gospel. Just couldn't bring himself to accept the message of salvation. A sad ending to this chapter. Now in Acts chapter 9, you have the conversion of the Apostle Paul. You all know that, where Paul was converted on the road to Damascus in the bright light and so on, when Paul was saved. And then the next couple of chapters in the book of Acts have to do with some of Paul's activities, but also some of the activities and sermons of some of the other apostles and events in the early church. And then about Acts chapter 13, Paul comes back, and all the rest of the book of Acts is about Paul and his missionary trips and preaching the gospel all over the area at that time. And so we call those Paul's missionary journeys, Acts chapter 13. They go on all the way till the end of the book. You know about them. Paul went to all these little cities. He wrote letters. He met many people. He had different helpers that he brought with him as he traveled about. The books of the letters that he wrote also give us a lot of information and details about what happened to Paul during all those years. But he was traveling around preaching the gospel. And in Acts chapter 23, we saw last time, in Acts chapter 24, Paul ends up in Jerusalem. And last week we saw the story of how he was arrested in Jerusalem. The soldiers came and rescued him, and a riot was going on. It seems like they may have even saved his life. And they arrested him and said they were going to keep him safe until he could be judged by the Roman authorities. So let's just read this first little section of Acts chapter 24. Now after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all kindness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander, Lysias, came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse you. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. So we saw that story last week where Paul was arrested and accused of creating a riot. The mob had formed, and they said he was causing an uproar and We saw last week how he, the dissension between the leaders of the Jewish high priest and the different sects of the Jewish religion, how they were arguing among themselves. And this was such a great uproar that the Roman soldiers had to come and rescue Paul. It seems that it says they came with great violence. It seems like they even were saving his life because of the great riot that was going on. And so he's held in custody, and they're going to send him to another city, Caesarea. They're going to send him to this city to stand trial before the Roman governor of that region. And his name is Felix. So the names that are given here are important in this little opening introduction. Ananias, Tertullius, Felix, Lysias, the four names that we see. It says that Ananias was the high priest in Jerusalem at this time in Paul's life. You remember at the time of Jesus' crucifixion and his life, there was another high priest. You remember his name? It was Caiaphas, a high priest. He was a ruthless, violent leader. And seems like this man, Ananias, probably was not much better. These high priests, although they were the Jewish religious leaders, they were appointed by the Roman government. Now, why would the Roman government be appointing the Jewish religious leaders and the high priests? Because they were corrupt. They were leaders. They were political. And sometimes they were violent. You saw what they did to Jesus at his crucifixion. And so these, although they were the religious leaders, the high priests, they still were sort of an arm of the Roman government. Thank you. That might help. So these high priests at this time, Ananias and Caiaphas before them, were working against Paul and working against the way of salvation at that time. So these high priests, they're going to bring charges against Paul. And to do this, they hire a Roman lawyer named Tertullius. They don't even hire someone of their own nation, their own people. They hire this Russian lawyer named Tertullius, and he is going to present the case against Paul before Felix, the governor of that area. By the way, Tertullius, his name simply means liar or imposter. So when you hire a lawyer, don't hire one whose name is liar or imposter. But that was the meaning of his name. And you see from the speech that he gives, he was eloquent. He gives a speech which is, praising the governor Felix. He's, trying to smooth him over with eloquent words. Make him feel good. He wants to impress this governor. It was a trick of his way of life, flattery before the judge. Later on, we'll see it in a little bit, we see Paul's speech before the governor, and it's so different than what Tertullius said, isn't it? Paul spoke about righteousness. We'll talk about this later. He talked about judgment. He talked about temperance. He talked about obeying and following the Lord before this same leader who had been spoken to by this courtroom lawyer named Tertullius. And so the case is presented, and Paul is given an opportunity later on to defend himself. Now this man, Lysias, who was the Roman commander at that time, his part of the story is told in chapter 23 and also here. We also get the idea that he was also a self-serving person. He was trying to make the most of his situation himself. And he probably was looking for a bribe. He knew, we'll see in a little bit, that Paul had come with money to give to the poor people. He was looking to get out of this arrest what he could. And so he thinks the best way to do it is to protect Paul until he can be judged by someone more favorable to him. So Felix, we'll talk about him a little bit more because he's the sad end to this story in this chapter. Felix had a wife named was Drusilla, and we'll see her. She comes in at the end of the story as well. But we can say now that Drusilla was Jewish, just Jewish woman married to this Roman governor. But Felix and Drusilla are important parts of the story later on. Now, in verse 10, it becomes Paul's turn to speak in his defense. It says, then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered. And here are the words of Paul. Just think of them in contrast, speaking before this governor, Felix, in contrast to how the Roman lawyer had spoken before. Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. He doesn't have to go out and hire a lying lawyer, does he? He can speak for himself. I will speak for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city, nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written, all things which are written in the law and the prophets. Look at this phrase, so descriptive. I have hope in God, he says, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out standing among them concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day. We had important description last week about this belief of the resurrection of the dead of Christians, right? And how Paul used it last week and is using it again today just to show the difference of the religious leaders, because he knew they couldn't even agree among couldn't agree among themselves about the resurrection of the dead in the days to come. So Paul just brings it out again. He knows that this is something that they cannot agree upon. Now, all through the book of Acts, you read these little sermons that Paul gave. I think there's 8 or 9 sermons or little speeches that Paul gives in the book of Acts. You learn a lot by reading these speeches, by learning what Paul said and how he preached to the people and others. Peter gave important messages in the book of Acts. And remember the wonderful message that Stephen, the first martyr, gave. Preaching the gospel to those people who were ready to kill him. They weren't afraid to speak the truth. These men in the early church weren't afraid to speak out for the Lord, and they were ready to tell their stories. They were ready to tell what the Lord meant for them and what the Lord had done for them. And so these sermons and little defenses of the gospel are very important because they teach us the real message that these disciples were preaching about. You learn a lot about these men when you read these messages and these sermons that they preach. So this is one of Paul. It's just his brief defense of himself before Felix, the governor, as he's arrested there in the city of Jerusalem. Remember how Tertullius had accused him of several things, and in Paul's defense. He goes through each one of those and disproves everything that Tertullius said. Nothing that he said is true. He wasn't disputing with anyone. He said, I've only been in Jerusalem for 12 days. Not enough time to foment a rebellion or a riot. I've only just recently come to Jerusalem. He said, now after many years, he's come bringing alms and offerings. Remember in the epistles, we read about how Paul was collecting money in many different churches to bring to the poor people in Jerusalem. That's one reason why he's here, bringing money to these poor, persecuted people in the city of Jerusalem. That's why I said before, Lysias wanted to get his hands on some of that money. He was willing to take a bribe to be kind to Paul. Paul tells Felix, where are my accusers? Even on the day of his trial, he says, they didn't show up. How can they accuse me if they don't even come? He says, they should be here, but they haven't even shown up for the trial that I am standing here before you. And so Paul refutes all that, the accusations that the lawyer had made, even the fact that his accusers were not even willing to come and stand up before him face to face to defend as he defended himself against their accusations. It says in verse 14, but this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers. We'll say more about that in a minute. This description of Christians in the early church in the book of Acts called the way, and that's what Paul refers to here. He says he worshiped the God of his father, and then he gives this wonderful statement that we said before, I have hope in God. That's the real message of salvation. I hope all of you here this morning can say that you have hope in the Lord. You have hope in God. Someday, he's going to resurrect his children. The hope of all Christians should be in the resurrection of the dead. That's what we look forward to. The Lord someday is going to fulfill that hope in our lives. Now, finally, starting at verse 22, we come to the sad end of this story here. Sad conclusion to the I don't say the life, but the all we know about this man, Felix, in the Bible, starting at verse 22. As I've said before, he's a man who heard from Paul's own lips the clear proclamation of the gospel, and he refused to believe it. He turned around, as it were, and walked away. He refused to believe what Paul was preaching to him. Verse 22, it says, but when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away, for now, when I have a convenient time, I will call you. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent him more often, and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Such an important lesson in this part of the story that we should really look at very carefully. According to verse 22, we read and we see that Paul knew some things about the Christian group that was in these days called a sect. But he knew something about them, and he was, or Felix, I should say, Felix knew something about them. And he was curious, he was interested, although not committed to following or believing, but he was curious about this group of people that was called the Way. And part of it could have been because his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, she probably instructed him and shared with him. She would understand. She would know something about these Jews who were following what at this time was this was something new, this new religious sect. And she would know something about it. And Felix was interested. It says that he called Paul several times to converse with him. And you just sort of got the idea. These were conversations which were, I don't know, they weren't a real searching for the truth. Felix wasn't trying to really search whether or not he should believe, but he was just curious. He wanted to know what all these people were about. And so he calls Paul to learn more about this new religious sect called the Way. And so Paul talks to him. And this is so interesting. It says, when Paul began talking about righteousness and self-control and judgment to come, Felix became frightened. Another translation which I found was said, when Paul began talking about self-control and righteousness, that he trembled. He was afraid and he trembled. Why was that? Well, Felix knew that he was a sinner. Felix knew that he was an immoral man. Paul was getting too close to Felix's personal life. Felix had stolen his wife Drusilla from another man. And I think I read that Felix may have been her third husband. But Felix knew that he was wrong. He knew that he was living a sinful life. This was so much like so many of the rulers, even the high priests of that time, the Roman rulers who thought nothing of killing people and taking wives and daughters. And this was almost commonplace in how they lived. You remember John the Baptist, how he confronted Herod about taking another man's wife, and Herod had John the Baptist killed because of what he spoke to him. So seems like this same thing happens in the life of Felix. When he's confronted with his own sin and his own lack of self-control, that he becomes afraid. It says he trembles. He's afraid. And I think that after this happened, Felix wasn't so interested in talking to Paul anymore. They were still waiting for judgment to be pronounced upon him, but Paul's message to Felix was too close, and he was not interested anymore. In other words, he wasn't interested in dealing with his sin. He wasn't interested in following the Lord. He wasn't interested in repenting. He was just, what can I say? He was just curious about this new religion. Do you ever see that today in people that you discuss Christianity with? Sometimes I've felt that. I've seen that sometimes when I was in school. What do you believe? And what about this? And what about that? But when you start getting close to the gospel, they turn you off. They're not interested in hearing too much about what you really believe, about a personal relationship with the Lord. And many people back off. Some people even get angry when you try to preach to them that they need to be saved, to repent of their sins and accept the Lord. But we know that the gospel can change lives, can't it? The gospel changes lives. And the gospel could have changed Felix's life if he would have been willing to repent and to accept the message of salvation. I don't know if Felix made a fatal mistake that day. We'll see that in a few minutes. But he turns Paul aside from the message of salvation, which Paul was clearly preaching and proclaiming to him. Felix even himself talked about this new sect called the Way. We saw that in the verses that we just read. You know that in the book of Acts, the name for Christianity in the early church, the most common name in the book of Acts is the Way. It comes over and over again in the book of Acts. It's the Way. We see it, first of all, in Acts chapter 9. Paul himself uses this phrase. In chapter 9, when he was out traveling around persecuting Christians, it says in Acts chapter 9, he was out. He said if he found any belonging to the Way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul would travel around looking for people who were following the Way, and he would bring them bound and throw them in prison in Jerusalem. And so over and over again in the book of Acts, you see this phrase about the Way. Paul had just come from Ephesus, and in Ephesus there was another riot. Paul had to be rescued again and hidden and out of the city because there was a disturbance, it says in Acts chapter 19. There was a disturbance concerning the Way. And Paul had to be rescued from this riot as well. Many verses in Acts talk about this group of early Christians called the Way. We say Christians, which is correct, but in the book of Acts, the word name Christian is only referred to, I think, three times. They were called people of the Way. And I don't know, that just seems like a distinctive, descriptive word, isn't it, the Way? Are we people of the Way? Are we following God's way? Are we living the way we should live as we find in God's word? I could think of so many verses in scripture that speak and use this term, the way, descriptive verses. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. And it says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's the way of salvation. Not many find it. It's the way to follow the Lord. I hope you're on that way, accepting God's gift of salvation. Christians need to travel that narrow path that leads to life beyond the resurrection. So trust Jesus and follow him as Christians. Let's walk in the way that leads to life everlasting. Finally, Felix gives this sad commentary or decision, I might say, when he dismisses Paul. Says he called many times, but I'm not really sure when that was. I just sort of have the feeling that it came a time when Felix did not want to speak to Paul anymore, wasn't interested in his message of salvation. And Felix tells him his final decision, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. What a mistake, wasn't it? Maybe a fatal mistake. I don't know. We don't know anything else about Felix. But if this was his last confrontation or his last time of facing the message of salvation, it would have been, as I say, a fatal mistake. He had called Paul many times to discuss Christianity. But in the end, he rejected the message of the gospel. I'll wait till it's more convenient. I'll just wait until something else happened. Wasn't there another man who said that I'm almost persuaded to accept the gospel, right? Almost persuaded. So if you're here this morning and you're not sure about the message of salvation, don't be almost persuaded. Don't say, I'll do it later. I'll figure out, you know, later on when it's more convenient, the opportunity may not ever come again to accept God's free gift of salvation. And so accept it. Trust the Savior. And I hope that there's no one here this morning making that mistake. Well, there's important lessons in this little story, aren't there? And I trust that each of us today might be living for the Lord if we're in His family, seeking to follow Him the way He's instructed us. And if we've never trusted Him, to accept the wonderful gift of salvation. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Think of the important lessons here today in this little story of Paul, such a faithful man in preaching the gospel. And yet he wasn't afraid to confront even high rulers and kings and governors. He was not afraid to present your message of salvation, the fact that we need to repent of our sins and seek to follow the Lord. And so even though in the end it may have cost him his life, he was willing to live for you and to serve you in the faithful proclamation of your word. Help each of us here this morning to understand the message of what we've heard today. Help us not to be slow in accepting your gift of salvation. Those of us that know you, help us to walk in your way and to seek to serve you and love you in all that we do. Thank you for our fellowship, our time together, and I ask your blessing today on each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.